We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. As I preached part of the message last week, I want to come back to that message. We talked about in last week's message what the Word of God can accomplish in our lives. We talked about the fact that it brings hope. We talked about the fact that it prepares us for every good work. We talked about the fact that the Word of God is a cleansing agent in our lives. We talked about the fact that the Word keeps us from sinning, and when we need revived, the Word of God revives us, and many other things that we learned about the Word of God. We then looked at our text in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we also learned that there was a charge that was given to Timothy here to put the believers in Ephesus in remembrance of some things, and it says charging them before the Lord. It's interesting that the idea of charging here is an ongoing responsibility of spiritual leadership to continue to charge and put believers in remembrance of the Scriptures. In this particular circumstance or this particular text, it's about striving not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And he was to charge them to study, to show thyself approved unto God. We understood here in this text that there's the word subverting in verse 14, meaning to turn somebody upside down. And when we give words of no profit or give our ears and our tongues to words of no profit, it affects hearers. Spiritually, it flips people upside down. We see that in this text. We also see in this text, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, that later on, it says in verse 16, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, more unholy living, more looking like the world, more living up what the world lives up, more sin, more worldliness, more ungodliness. All of that comes when we participate in profane and vain babblings and we allow ourselves to be involved in conversations that are opposite of the word of truth. Verse 15, he says in the end of verse 15, rightly dividing the word of truth. The truth of the matter is we can get ourselves down roads that are subversive, that are ungodly. And thirdly, if you look down in verse number 18, overthrow the faith of some. Capsize hearts of other believers. That's what it's referring to. Years ago, my father had a boat. We were on a reservoir, and we had a motor on our boat, but there were some people that were in a canoe, and the canoe capsized. And they were holding on to their canoe, looking for help, and thankfully we were able to come and get them in our boat and drag the canoe back to shore. But it was capsized. It was a desperate situation for them because they weren't aware that it was going to capsize. They were not prepared for it to capsize, and they had no way to help themselves once it was capsized. Believers, when we don't study the Word and when we give our ears and our tongues to other things, there's a lot of bad things that happen. People are turned upside down. People are overthrown. They're capsized spiritually. They're increasing in more ungodliness. Certainly there's an exhortation here to charge. That's the job of Timothy, the leader, to charge. Secondly, we looked at the endeavor to study. Verse 15, the endeavor to study means to use speed. It means to make effort. It means to be prompt or to be earnest in what you do. And we talked about how that it takes years of effort and training to become a doctor, and then more years to become a doctor in a special field, and how that the Bible is a book that demands study. It demands earnest effort. It demands an intense pursuit of. And that is our responsibility. That's an individual responsibility before God, that we study the Word of God. And we learn that there are other words for that in the New Testament for the word study, endeavoring and do thy diligence and let us labor. All those words, the same word as the word study when it comes to the Word of God. You should know that much study is weariness of the flesh. We're going to encourage you and give you all kinds of tools to study this year. But you should know that when you put time into study, you'll get tired. Tonight, after I preach tonight, I'll go home. And the last 4 or 5 days for me has been a lot of study. And when I go home, I don't really want to talk to a lot of people. I just want my brain to go on autopilot. Because I've been in intense study and I am weary. I'm tired. Monday's a good day off for me after Sunday. But that should not discourage us from study. But you should know that it is work. It will cost you something. You will feel tired after it. That's okay. The Bible says here that that's true in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. There's motives of study in verse 15 as we look at this endeavor to study. Notice thyself, so it is beneficial unto you. Study to show thyself approved unto God. To be approved unto God. The idea of being on a job site and having a foreman over you and doing the job and then going to your foreman and saying, hey, could you come and look at this job? I think I've done it right. And you're seeking approval. And boy, it feels good to have somebody say, boy, that looks really good. Boy, you did a really good job on that. Study, the Bible says, has the motivation not to be approved of people, but rather to be approved of God. And the Bible says that here. Study to show thyself approved unto God. This is a workman. Notice in this passage, it is a workman. There's a few things about a workman I want you to know this morning. A workman needs knowledge. If Kenton McCleary interviewed me to join him in his business, he would ask me about my background in electrical work. He would ask me if I had any education, training. What he's getting at is knowledge in order to work for him. And you know what? He wouldn't hire me to work for him. Because I know how to do one thing. I know how to buzz myself with wires. Right? He would look for somebody with knowledge. A workman must have tools. A workman must have tools. The electricians that I watch, they have this bag. And it's got certain basic tools that they just have at a hand's reach. I'm certain there are other tools that are maybe used in a more rare situation that they have on them, but they have this bag that's on them that they need to grab something. They do that. Tyler works in HVAC. Adam works in HVAC. They have certain tools to do their work. So it is in Bible study, there are certain tools that will help you to do the work of study. I'm so thankful for my tools. Boy, every week I love getting into my toolbox, so to speak. And I love being able to use the tools that God's blessed me with and books and resources and computer programs and lots of things that I tap into to prepare to deliver to you some good food from the Word of God. But tools. A workman must have energy for the task. He must have energy to do it. And sometimes I think when it comes to studying the Word of God, this is where we might lack. We just don't seem to have the energy to put into this task. We have the energy to put into other tasks, but when it comes to studying the Bible, sitting down and reading the Scriptures and saying, boy, I'm going to get beyond the level of reading. I'm going to mine out some things. I'm going to research. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to take time to observe and think on and meditate and memorize and apply that to my life. Boy, that takes a lot of energy, preacher. It does. It does. Workmen have to have energy in order to accomplish the task. A workman must have an overseer. You hire somebody new on the job, and we hire here. The early months is a lot of, hey, let me follow up with you, Brother Jared, on this. Let's talk about this. Did you get this done? Did you do it this way? Yada, 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 yada. Oversight. And we have an overseer. And that's the Lord. A workman must labor to get approval. Knowledge, tools, energy, overseer, get approval. A workman. Did you know that you're to be a workman? In the Word of God. Every person here is to be a workman in the Word of God. Our motive is to not be ashamed
before God. There's a mandate here to study. There's not only motives to study, but there's a mandate, and that is that this word here in verse number 15, study, is not in a suggestive sense, but rather it is in a commanding sense. Timothy, prioritize, make sure this gets done in your life. Christian, prioritize, make sure this gets done in your life. And so as a Christian and as a spiritual leader, when I came across this text and when I saw this text and God made this text alive to me personally as a believer, as a pastor, the Lord impressed upon my heart that I need to help the church to study the Word of God. And that leads us to the many different levels of Bible intake, where we take in the Word of God. We read the Word of God. That's one level where I read something. I have a number of books on my shelf, next to my chair at home, and I'll pull a book off and I'll read it. That's one level that I take in the Bible. I hope you have that level in your life. I hope you read the Bible, not just come and hear it. Hearing is another level. We hear the Bible preached like we're doing this morning, where we're looking at the text and there's a sense of understanding that we're giving so that you understand what the Bible's saying. There's an application of the text, so here's how it applies to your life. There's a drawing to a decision that, boy, you need to do something because of what you've seen in the Word of God today. All of that is hearing the Word of God. There's a writing level. Maybe you've not done this. I know there are some churches that in their discipleship courses, part of their weekly assignment is to write out portions of Scripture. You know, I don't know about you. One of the reasons why I write out my messages is because I remember better what I have written. Maybe you have never been a part of that part of Bible intake, but maybe you want to try that this year, to write out the Scriptures. There's the memorization level, where I'm memorizing verses, and certainly we're working to put something in front of you. In fact, in your bulletin this morning, there's a section that talks about Psalm 119, verses 1 through 4, that's put there before you. Watch this. We're creating an atmosphere for you to be able to up your levels of Bible intake. But watch this. I can't force you to do that. I can create the setting. I can create the opportunities. But there has to be a decision. There has to be a work in your heart. There has to be a stirring of the Spirit of God that says, I want this for me. We can put it there. For 10 years as youth pastor, I put it there. I put it in front of our young people. I gave opportunities. We put devotionals in their hand. We taught them how to study the Word of God. We had individual meetings with them and said, listen, let's talk about this. Let's work at this. But I can't make anybody do it. But in your heart as a Christian, if your heart is healthy, then this preaching, this focus ought to be stirring your heart up this morning. It ought to get you all stirred up. Man, I'm ready to put some effort and some diligence and some labor into deepening my understanding and my study of the Word of God. There's the meditation level. Meditation's where I think about it. I read, and then I think about it. As I did Psalm 55 last night, I thought about the words, as for me. I concluded, I couldn't make decisions for anybody else. But I certainly could choose for me to pray and take things to the Lord and sit there and think about it and let the Holy Spirit take those words and personalize those words to your heart and bring you truth that helps you to be encouraged in a path that you need to go or keep on keeping on or make a change in your life. There's the thinking about the Word of God, and then there's the study level of intake where, boy, I'm looking at words and I'm understanding the background of what's going on in this book and I'm understanding the context of what was written before the passage that I'm reading and what was written after the passage that I'm reading, and I'm comparing and looking for repeated words, and I'm investigating. Boy, my eyes, I'm trying to take in, I'm trying to get as much as I can out of what I'm reading. There's the study part. I believe that in a church, a pastor gets a vision from God. I believe in that. I believe if a pastor's in contact with God, God gives leaders vision. I spend time on that. I think one of my responsibilities as the senior pastor here is to make sure that I have that vision is clear for our church. As a leader and a pastor, I must have a vision for the church. If I don't set vision, I'm not the leader. Leaders set vision. Dads, in your home, you're the leader. You set vision. You get in contact with God. You find out what needs to be addressed. You get direction from God as to where you're going. You lead your family in that direction. A church will never outgrow its vision, and the vision of a church will never outgrow the vision of the pastor. God gives leadership, and God gives leadership to cast vision. Vision includes faith. It includes clarity of what God wants to do through our church, what God wants to do in each individual's life. It gives ways that believers can grow. It comes to life in the local church and in the lives of the believers and in the life of the community. God gave Nehemiah a vision to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, so that he took that vision and shared it and told the leaders of Israel, let's rise up and build. But it started in the heart of Nehemiah. God gave Joshua the vision to cross over Jordan. Joshua, this is what I want my people to do. You lead in that direction. God gave Joseph the vision to put back for the country of Egypt in the case of a famine. Do you remember that? It was put in Joseph's heart. It was Joseph that got the vision from God and then implemented that vision for the whole country. He gave Jesus the vision of training the 12. Jesus would only be on earth those 3 years of ministry, and then he would be ascended, and he had a vision to invest his life in 12 other men that would turn the world upside down. But that vision was in his heart. God gave Peter vision to go to reach Cornelius and the Gentile people, did he not? He put that vision in Peter's heart. God gave Abraham the vision for him and his family to leave his dwelling and to go to a place that God would show him. You know, vision is not always easy to follow. I don't know if I was Abraham there that I would just say, yes, sir, God. One of the amazing points of Scripture is God told him to do it in that passage in Genesis, and he arose the next morning and did it. He got the vision accomplished. What does vision do for a church? Vision encourages unity. It puts us all in the same direction, pointing all of us in the same direction. It creates energy. There's something to go after. There's purpose to accomplish. It fosters risk-taking. Like some of the things we're going to introduce to you this year, guess what? We ain't never done it that way before. Like this is going to be new. Like this is going to stretch you. It fosters that. By the way, risk, promote, growth. For us to stay in our little zones of everything the way it's always been in our lives and never be challenged to step out of our comfort zones and do something new and start a new spiritual endeavor, that limits growth. But vision encourages growth. It enhances leadership. It promotes excellence. It sustains ministry. That being said, the vision God's given me for 2023 is the church theme of study to show thyself approved unto God. In your booklet now, if you pull out your vision booklet, I want to mention a few things in here. Obviously, the first page as you open is just a letter from me, just highlighting some of the things that we have in store and also keeping my door open to you. At the bottom, the last paragraph, if you have a need, a burden, a prayer request, a concern, a reason to rejoice, a blessing to share, a cause for sorrow, please take time to share it with me. I'm a hands-on pastor. If you're new to our church, I want to be involved in your life. Sometimes I'm spread out. Sometimes I can't maybe meet the next hour or the next day, but I'll do my best to meet a need, to lend a listening ear, to encourage you from words of Scripture. The second page really summarizes what we're burdened about. One is we want to do a better job of equipping the believers at Mount Zion Baptist Church for personal study. I don't believe the strongest believers in our country are people that attend church Sunday and Wednesday, and every time the doors are open, and forget to develop their own personal study. The strongest believers are believers that learn to study the Bible for themselves. And not only learn it, but are committed to it. Make the time for it to happen. In that equipping process, we're going to have a Bible study methods and tools Sunday school class. It starts 3 weeks from today. Some of you may be a little slow in getting out of bed for Sunday school. Could I urge you to make Sunday school a priority? What we have in Sunday school is for every believer. We're not marking time. We're not trying to create something extra. It's very purposeful. This particular class is going to be, I think, very, very helpful. We're going to give you a survey of study Bibles. We're going to work through the different tools that some of you have bought. The Then and Now Bible Maps, the Effectual Bible Student, the King James Bible Companion. You say, "Preacher, I don't have any of those." You can still get your hands on those in the bookstore. We're going to show you how to use a Strong's dictionary to do a word study. We're going to show you how to do a character study of the Bible, a biographical study of the Bible. We're going to show you how to do a book study of the Bible. We're going to show you how to tear a small portion of Scripture apart and investigate it and what to look for. We're going to give you a summary of the study Bibles, like I said. We're going to show you and have a session on the Power Bible program, how to use the Power Bible program in your study. It's going to be practical. May I say on the back end of that you can choose to take it as a Bible Institute course if you're attending Mount Zion Baptist Church. It's no charge. In the next week and a half or so, I'll have the syllabus, which is a list of assignments that you would agree to fulfill if you're taking it for credit, and you can get 2 credits through our Bible Institute. I'll have a sign-up for that. You'll get the syllabus. You'll turn in your projects to us. We'll grade them, get them back to you. You'll get a letter grade on the class if you want to take it. If you don't want to take it that way, you can come and sit in the class and listen to it just like an adult Sunday school class. But it is going to be information-packed to equip believers. Going to learn how to use tools. Going to learn the study Bibles. Going to learn computer programs. You're going to learn things of interpretation, of how we rightly interpret the Bible, all in that class. It's a key to equipping. And then some of you that got the 5 resources, you would have already received a free devotional journal. I hope that you're using that. If you want a journal and you did not get one as part of the 5 bundle, we still have a number of journals in our inventory. And if you want to use something on a daily basis to actually write out what God's teaching you, what you're getting from the Scriptures, you see Brother Jared about that, and he'll make sure that he can get one of those in your hand for a very minimal cost, what it only costs us to get them. As far as exercise, we want to encourage exercise in the church-wide Bible Scripture memory goal in Psalm 119 and through the next 12 months. If you'll memorize 4 verses a month, that's 1 verse a week. In the next 48 weeks, you can memorize the first 48 verses of Psalm 119. In that psalm, it's all about the Word of God. Every verse is dealing about the Word of God in some way. And so it would enrich your soul and your heart to memorize verses on the Word of God. And that is there. That takes exercise. I don't know about you. I don't always like exercise. But it takes exercise to do that. It takes work. It takes consistency to review those verses in your life. Then we have the Bible book study on the 7th of April. And if you go to this page, which is right across from Light on Purpose, the page right across from Light on Purpose, you'll see Bible book study night. Bible book study night, we have ordered paperback Bibles. What's that, preacher? It's just a little booklet like this, but the booklet has books of the Bible and it has lines out on the side that you can write notes as you're studying. So on Friday night, April the 7th, we're going to have a Bible book study night that is going to be over the book of James. And we want to do it at a couple different levels. We want to do it at an adult level, but we also want to do it at a child level and at a teen level so that they can have a leader that helps them to learn how to study the Bible. Everybody that signs up for that night will get a paperback Bible of the book of James, because the book of James is the book that we're going to listen to two or three times that night. We're going to read through two or three times that night. And in the midst of that, we're going to tear it apart. And so why are we doing that? It's a practicum. It's an exercise so that you learn how to do it. Okay? And so we invite you to be a part of that. That's part of the exercise that we have built in. Then you'll see under the exercise and on that same page, cover to cover week, September 17th through 23rd. Everybody sees cover to cover week on that page. And that is a week that we're going to have every chapter of the Bible on a sign-up sheet. And we're going to encourage every believer at Mount Zion to sign up to read six or seven chapters during the week. And we've kind of calculated that out. If we do that, then our church could corporately read through the Bible in a week. And that particular Sunday night, we're going to give opportunities for people to share testimonies from what they got out of their portion of reading. You might have read in Jeremiah, or you might have read in Psalms, or you may have read in Jude. But we're going to give people opportunities to testify about what they read in the cover-to-cover week. And so there's some exercising that's going on from equipping. See, folks, if we only equip and we never exercise, we're going to become bloated believers. God wants us to put into motion what we are learning. And so that's why we have some of these things built in. The word expound is the third word there on the second page as you open your book. Expound means to proclaim. It means to tell somebody else about. And so there are a couple of things that we want to do here. One is we want to give you the opportunity to send by email into one of our secretaries, and we'll give this information later, a devotional that you have written, a paragraph-long devotional that you have written by the third Sunday of the month. Now, today's the fourth Sunday of January. We'll remind you, but by the third Sunday, if you'll send in a devotional over the next 2 weeks, we'll edit, make sure it's in good format and spelling. And then we'll publish all of those, like we do missionary letter packets, to the church so that you can bless somebody else with what God's given you. Because you see, in study, God never meant it just for me. God meant it for me to take it and share it with somebody else. And so we want to give you the opportunity to do that. And we'll do that by the third Sunday of the month. And on the first Sunday of the month, a packet of hopefully people that have written devotionals will be available to the church that you can pick up that packet and you can read from a Darlene Dougherty, what Darlene got out of her devotions in this particular passage, or a Matt Parks, or a Michael Milwick, or a Steve Ebersole, or a Carol Grove, whoever. If you take time to write it, we'll take time to print it. But we believe that we can really, really encourage each other by that. And so if you look on pages 3 and 4, just review some dates here, some pages that are not in, but in the calendar section, in the month of March, we're having a young couple's Sunday school class that begins, and it will go for 6 weeks during the adult class. And so we'll take a break from Bible study tools there for a little bit to spend some time with the young couples together in a class. And then on June 11th, it's not in your calendar, but that is the night that we plan to ordain Brother Jared Dirks to the gospel ministry as a pastor. And we're very, very excited about that in the new year. And so we want to look forward to that. On August 4th, we have our back-to-school extravaganza, our third annual back-to-school extravaganza. And then you'll see the third Thursday of every month is ladies' Bible study. And there's one in the morning that started this week, one in the evening. The book that they're working through is a book called Secrets from a Happy Heart, and a tremendous study in the Scriptures. Some of you have already gotten those resources and you've started on that. If you go back to that page, cover to cover week, Museum of the Bible is the third thing. So we have book Bible study, cover to cover, and then Museum of the Bible tour. And we're hoping to make this a church-wide tour at the end of cover to cover week. So anybody that wants to go down, we want to take buses down and visit the Bible Museum, which I heard is fantastic. I've not personally been there, but some of you have. And so if we're giving you these dates in January so you can start to set time aside, okay? But we think that would be very exciting in a year where our focus is on the study of the Scriptures. We have all kinds of vehicles for you to study the Scriptures. One of them is the Bible reading plan in the calendar book, which we gave out on the first Wednesday of the year. If you don't have one of these, you can pick one up. And every day has a schedule for study so that you can check off the chapters as you read them. You can also use it to write things in the calendar of events and things. But we encourage you to read through the Bible using the church calendar. We encourage you to memorize the four verses in Psalm 119. We encourage you to join the Bible study tools and methods class Sunday, February the 19th in the adult class, or February the 12th, I should say. We encourage you to be part of the church Bible book Bible study night on April the 7th. We encourage you to write a devotional on the third by the third Sunday of the month. We encourage you to be in the ladies' Bible study, which meets on the third Thursday of every month. We encourage you to get the tools, learn how to use them, and use them. We encourage you to participate in Cover to Cover Week, and we encourage you to exercise. We are creating the opportunities. The vision is to help every believer here grow in personal study. You may not be able to do all these things. I understand that. Ladies' Bible study may not work out for you and your schedule. Maybe you're not reading through the Bible, but you're using another plan, okay? But by all means, the pressure's on the right place, folks. The pressure's on us to study the Scriptures. If you go to page number 6, we talk a little bit about outreach here, and I want to walk through that today. It talks about Light on Purpose. We're rearranging our Saturday visitation. We've called it Operation Saturation for many years, but we're keeping the first and third Saturdays of the month like normal, but we'll be meeting in where the quilting room was, and we'll have three different ways that you can go out every time we have visitation. One of those ways is to go out and just canvass. You're not comfortable yet with speaking to somebody, but you can take your two legs and your two hands and go to an area with a map, and you can put literature on doors, okay? You can put a door hanger. We want you to be involved in that way. Another way is for you to be able to come and go to our new move-ins, which we currently do, and we go and visit new move-ins and invite them to church and get to know them. And then another way where most of us will be going is we're going to be working with a survey, a religious survey, that we're going to go to one community as a group, and we're going to work in that community till we cover that community and take a 5-minute religious survey that ends up with at least giving a gospel tract, if not being able to go into the gospel. Okay, so that's on Saturdays. It's Light on Purpose. I know you witness when opportunities come, but I do believe that all of us should have purposeful times that we give to evangelizing. Truth is, you may come through a week or two and not have an opportunity to witness to somebody, which means you went a week or two without light on purpose. And we are to be lights, and we are to be lights on purpose. And so this is our church time to be a light on purpose, first and third Saturdays of the month. In addition to that, I know Saturdays for some of you are a struggle. And so we're going to start in March through October, the bottom part of that page, Light on Purpose. We're going to start the second Tuesday of every month, just during lighted evening hours, called Great Commission Night. Very similar, except we won't be doing survey work, we will be doing survey work. What we won't be doing is new move-ins, but we will be doing the cross ministry that Joe and Sue are working on. And the cross puzzle that you'll be able to take, introduce who you are, where you're from. We have a gift for you from our church. We'd like you to go to the website, find out the solution to the puzzle, and learn about the cross. And so that's on Tuesday nights, and that's on Tuesday nights just because we understand Saturdays for some people is very, very hard to free up. And so we want to encourage more involvement in going out from the church. And so we're going to do that on Tuesday night. You'll hear more about this. I'm going to preach on these things as we go. If you go to the next page, page number 7, it's our couples retreat. It's coming up next month, just 2 weeks away, a little less than 2 weeks away. And that's up at the Hershey Lodge. Larry Brown will be with us for those days. And we're looking forward to a wonderful time of fellowship together, but also encouragement in our marriages from the Word. If you look at page number 8, it's our Helping Hurting Conference. And this is something new. This is outside the box. This is, we ain't never done it this way before. But one thing that all of us are running into is hurting people. This is for our whole church. I'd like to invite the whole church to be part of the and attend the Helping Hurting Hearts Conference, because I believe we'll have a session on what is the church's role in helping hurting people. But the truth is, you may be hurting through something right now. There'll be lots of sessions that day. There'll be testimonies. There'll be the gospel given. We want you to come, and we want you to bring somebody that you know that is hurting, maybe a number of somebodies. We're going to offer a meal that day. We're going to try to reach out with compassion and pity and mercy to help those that are hurting. We have a schedule for a Saturday, and then into the Sunday, my father will be speaking all day on Sunday around those themes, and we're hoping maybe those that come on Saturday may return for Sunday. But the truth of the matter is, if you know people, then you know someone that's hurting. People are hurting everywhere. Text, phone calls that I receive are loaded with people that are hurting. And they need help. And they need truth and love to help. And so you'll be getting flyers. This is already on the website. If you know somebody you want to begin working, praying over to get them to register, they just go on the website. They register right on the website. We get that, so we have an idea of who's coming. But church, I believe this is a golden opportunity for us to reach out to somebody that, again, may not come to a church service, but they may come to a conference that targets hurt. And you probably know somebody. Be thinking and praying about that. And again, I'll talk to you more about that. The next page, we have our open house Sunday, where we're opening our church with lunch on the grounds on April the 30th. Sunday, the April the 30th, as spring hits, it's a great time to open our church where people can come by and we can give tours and provide meals for them on that day. And then that is also the day of our spring revival beginning from April 30th through May the 3rd with Pastor Terry Angel. Some of you have heard him at the couples retreat. He was a great blessing there, and he'll be with us for these days in April and in the May. The next page deals with summer camp. All right, teenagers, wake up. Juniors, it's the great Amazon adventure, jungle theme coming. And so I have no idea what that means. Maybe higher insurance coverage, I don't know. We have Brother Jerry Ross, Lord willing, coming to speak at our camp. And then the next page is something we've been trying to set up for a couple of years, and we finally got it set up this year. And it's for all of our teachers and helpers that work with children. Part of our approach in ministry is excellence, not status quo. And status quo comes when we're not refreshed in what we're doing. We have people that work in master's clubs, VBS, all kinds of children's ministries. And if you're in that, Tom Gear, who does training all over the world on this front, is going to be with us for a month. Not every day of the month are we going to be having sessions. We're going to try to build them around our church services so that you can get that training. But we believe it is part of equipping our teachers and our helpers that we're all getting the same training and equipped to the best that we can be in those areas. And so we'll give you a full schedule of that as it draws closer, but that is something that's coming in July. The next page is our Vacation Bible School. Brother Gear will also be helping with that since he's here, but it's called I Dig Dinosaurs. So the theme this year is around the dinosaur theme, a theme that we've never had before, but we're very excited about that. And then Missions Conference this year has an urgency to it because Jesus is coming. And the door is closing. You know that. Before the door closes, we had better get done for Christ what we're going to get done. We had better reach the fields and get to the harvest fields before He returns. And so this year's theme is Before the Door Closes, and that's scheduled October 25th through the 29th. Our Christmas musical and drama is that last page on the inside, and then our contact information on the back of the vision booklet. We want you to be able to keep that. We want you to be able to refer to it. It's got all your major dates, not every single date of everything, but major things that are going on so that you can look at the year and say, by God's grace, boy, I want to jump in. Man, this is my church. These are godly pursuits. These are wonderful things. And while I have health and while I have energy, man, I want to be a part of where we're going in 2023. I want to give you the last point of the message in the last 5 minutes in verse number 16. The Bible says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. There's an exhortation to charge to Timothy. There's an endeavor to study. And then there's an edict to shun. I'm personally convinced we need to be stronger shunners. I don't know that we're always strong in this area. It's important if, in order that you're going to study, you have to shun. Here it's profane and vain babblings. We have it in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. Here's the thrust of what he's saying. If you don't shun some things, you'll lose some things. Timothy, you're going to lose some things that I've committed to your trust unless you shun some things. And Spurgeon said this, the spotless purity of truth must always be at war with the blackness of heresy and lies. Truth battles heresy. The Bible says in verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker. The word will eat is interesting words. It means they'll have pasture. And I want you to guard your heart against that which is not from the Scriptures, that your heart doesn't become the pasture for profane and vain babblings that will increase unto more ungodliness. Gangrene will develop here. Their word doth eat as a canker. It'll spread. That's what it's talking about here, like wildfire. If you give the pasture of your ears and hearts to those who are profane, the word refers to a disease which spreads rapidly in a deadly manner. You cannot give your ears and your heart to profane and vain babblings. By the way, profane, unholy, wicked, worldly babblings come from profane people. That's where they come from. Esau was a profane person. If you study Hebrews chapter 12, you'll find that his profanity was tied to his bitterness. Bitter people are profane people. He was a profane person. You give your ears to bitterness, you give your ears to profane babblings, and it's going to produce gangrene in your heart. Bad poison that's going to have a deadly course to it. You need to understand that. Notice the promise, not only is there the potential for infection, but the promise of increase and influence. In verse 16, but they will increase unto more ungodliness, and they overthrow the faith of some. Can I remind you this morning that heresy can't save you and it won't sanctify you? False teaching will not. The message of the false teachers defiles people. It does not make them more holy. False teachers influence others to tolerate, defend, or rename sin. And if you're going to stay straight, you've got to put your nose in the study of the Word of God, and you've got to shun that which is against it. That's what Paul wrote with a concern for Timothy. It describes those who have no feeling for God. The word vain babblings means discussion of useless things. Hymenaeus and Philetus got way off doctrinally, but it increased to that point. They start dabbling. They start in bad talks. They started in controversial matters. And it led to them denying the physical body resurrection of the believers. It increases to more ungodliness. And notice he named names here. Why did Paul name names? He did it so that they, good believers, would not be deceived by those that were coming across as the saints. And in our day and age, you need to understand there's some people, there's some things to shun. These two heretics had forfeited God's approval. because they were engaged in empty, godless chatter, and it undermined the truth of God's Word. That's a dangerous place. And so we preach this pattern for Christian growth because Paul was instructing Timothy, put them in remembrance, charging, the continual responsibility of charging, and your continual responsibilities of study and shunning are important to your growth. And the Spirit of God knew it. And so the Spirit of God put this passage in the Scriptures for us to understand. Dear church, stay hungry for the Word. Stay hungry for the Word. You're not hungry for the Word this morning. According to James chapter 1, there's probably some naughtiness. There's probably some sin that needs put out of your life, so that you can receive again the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. If your hunger for the Word is not there, there's something else that has your heart. There's something else that's taking you away from the Word. On this fourth Sunday of the new year, you better deal with that. You better get that out of your life. You better say, Lord, I need that hunger. Lord, I don't have the hunger that I could have. Lord, there's more that I need. I see the mandate, Lord, to study. I see the benefits of study, Lord. I see the threats if I don't study. I see that I could be overturned. I see that I could be subverted. I see that my life could turn into ungodliness. God, by all means, you put a burden on me to study the Word of God. Stay hungry. Work hard in it. Get in behind it. Put effort into being equipped and to exercising and then to sharing it with others.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.